pastor's, one of the pastor's daughters down at Palmarcito, our partner church down in Guatemala. And we are excited about this trip that's coming up this summer, the 9th through 16th of July. Today is the final day to register for that trip. And if you have any questions or anything, I'm going to be around for a few minutes after the service, but then I've got a Membership Matters course that I'm teaching after the service is over in room 105 for those that are registered for that and are interested in coming to that. But that Palmarcito trip, I can say Palmarcito, trust me. That Palmarcito, there, if I put a little attitude on it, maybe it'll come out a little better. But if you do have questions, let me know, or even just shoot me an email sometime this week. That'd be great. We're diving into the Lord's Prayer today in preparation for our launch into the 21 Days of Prayer. That begins this Thursday on the 25th. And I hope you can join some of us for prayer. We're going to meet in just right off of the coffee house out here. There's a kind of a fellowship area with black tables. There's a room that we've set aside for prayer. And I would just love to have you join me at 9 o'clock next week for a short time of prayer just off of the coffee house. And one thing we spoke about last week when we kind of introduced all of this is what you see on the screen. Jesus did not just give us the Lord's Prayer as a model for how to pray. He's not like, here's how you should pray, which is what he said, but ultimately this is how to live. The Lord's Prayer is a model for how to live. So we as a church are not only going to embrace the practice of prayer, but we're going to embrace the lifestyle of prayer that's modeled for us in the Lord's Prayer. So I know that we are standing, but I think you guys can handle this. I'm going to ask you to stand up again. Would you recite the Lord's Prayer with me? You'll see it on the screen here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Listen, before you take a seat, would you turn, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see him today? All right, as you take your seats, here's what I know, and I know this about my own life, really, ultimately, is that we can study about prayer, we can read about prayer, we can set special prayer times, we can set special places aside for prayer, we can do all of that kind of stuff, but it does really begin with this ultimate issue, and it's where we begin today. Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he uses some very specific language right at the beginning. He says, our Father in heaven. He says, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. The foundation is that prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want your name to be hallowed. We want your name to be hallowed. So I want to address that word, hallowed, first, kind of beginning with the end in mind. Ultimately, it's what the rest of this prayer is about. How do we hallow God's name? We're praying that God's name would be hallowed, but then in reality, we're hallowing God's name when we accept the forgiveness that he has for us. We hallow his name when we forgive others. We hallow God's name, we honor his name when we trust him for our daily needs, that he's there for us. We hallow his name when we resist evil, we flee from temptation. We hallow his name by how we live our lives. And the words that come from our mouths. And so what does that mean? Well, honored, it means we revere God's name. We lift up God's name. Deborah, who's the pastor's daughter, one of the pastor's daughters of the pastor in Palmarcito, she spoke in Spanish. And the word that is Spanish for hallowed is santificado. Santificado, which was sanctified, which means set apart. Sanctified. So why would I explain that? Why do we need to understand this? Well, because if we're going to hallow God as Father, you have to know Him as Father. If you're going to hallow God and His name as Father, you have to know God as Father. So when Jesus told other people to pray to God as Father, we need to remember that He was kind of messing things up. So the people that were hearing Him speak was a mixed crowd, and some of them were some religious elite people. And their religion was built on some really specific language use, particularly use of language to refer to God. And the word Father here is a really intimate term. They would have really resisted using that. It would have felt blasphemous. It would have felt disrespectful. It would have felt like they were not honoring or revering God's name by referring to Him in such an intimate way. And we're going to get to the actual word Father here in just a little bit. But Jesus uses this term over 100 times in the Gospels. Why? Because God wants us to, or Jesus wanted us to understand, He wants His disciples to understand, His listeners to understand, this Father that we're praying to is not some distant God. This is not some detached deity. This is not Jesus God, or I'm sorry, this is not Santa God, who's like sitting on a throne somewhere deciding who's on the naughty and nice list and whether or not you did the right things or didn't do the right things and all those kinds of different things. He's a very personal, interested God. In fact, He's so personal, Jesus says that when you talk to Him, you call Him Father, Father. Now, for a lot of people, that's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Some of you grew up with fantastic fathers. Some of you are fantastic fathers. That's not the universal experience of everybody, right? It just isn't true for everybody. For some people, when they hear we're supposed to refer to God as a father, there's a little bit of a disconnect. Now, I am not a counselor. Some of you know this, unfortunately. But, I will sit down with you and I will begin counseling, and I feel like I can kick the door open. I can do a pretty good job. I'm not a good counselor because I talk too much. But here's what I have done and I have experienced. I've done it enough to be around people who struggle with the perfection of a heavenly Father compared to the imperfection experienced by earthly ones. Okay. The idea that we're going to ascribe fatherhood, that terminology to God, there's a bit of a disconnect. It's God's most intimate name is Father. It's hard to imagine a perfect one, right? It's hard to imagine that when the Father we've known has maybe been so much less than perfect. How many of you ever heard the line, just wait till your dad gets home? Okay. That's the house I grew up in. Just wait. And we were like, yeah, that's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. Is that the kind of father you really want to kind of like come up close to? Is that the kind of father you want to really get to know? The one you have to be afraid of? What about having an unreliable father? They're there one day, they're gone the next, or they're just not there. They're just absent. Is it possible that the idea of God as a father is hard for some people? Because how do you trust He is who He is, who He says He is, and will do what He says He will do? When our experience sometimes of a father is the opposite. These are statistics, and I enjoy getting into statistics because I think there's a story. They don't tell the whole story, but the Census Bureau in 2017, 19.7 million children. So one in every four children under the age of 18 in the United States lived in a home with no father, stepfather, or adoptive father. Okay, so one out of four children lived in a home with no father, no stepfather, or adopted father. Now, directly tied to that statistic, those children, the one in four children, are four times more likely to live in poverty, let alone more likely to experience abuse, behavioral problems, neglect, malnutrition, all kinds of different things. Now, let me say this. I want to be clear, not all societal problems are linked to the absence of a father in a home. There are some people that will ride that horse till it's dead. I'm not one of those. If that's the case, we just write off people, and I just don't think that's how Jesus works. An absence of fatherhood is a big deal, just like an absence of motherhood is a big deal. Okay, so there's statistics to share about motherhood as well. But Jesus is very specific in his language here, and so I'm gonna default to Jesus. He's telling us to come to God as a father. As a father. The stats are telling. It should not be surprising how difficult it may be for people to then hallow the name of a father. So that said, what I just want to do briefly this morning, here right at the beginning, is just share with you, I guess, the kind of father whose name it is that we hallow this morning. This is so simple, but I'm a pretty simple dude, and I hope this is helpful for you today. The first thing I think we just need to remember and understand is that he's a caring father. He's a caring father. He cares for you, I can guarantee you, more than you will ever understand. Carrie prayed at the beginning of the service. You know, sometimes our words just are insufficient to describe God. And it just really is true. There will never be a moment in this lifetime where you really ultimately will be able to fully comprehend the depth of how much he loves you and cares for you. And for some of you in this room today, that might be literally the most important thing that you hear today. He cares for you. Psalm 103:13 says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. We don't like that word, fear, but it's meant in a good way here. He cares. He cares for you. Can't say it enough. He cares for you. For you. Jesus had 12 disciples. Those disciples that he called alongside of him. Now, I'm just 100% human. I like I like me time. I like my space. He called these 12, and there has to have been some moment where Jesus was just like, dudes, can you just leave me alone? I mean, he called them, but they were all up in his business 24/7. He's like, man, I need a break. So every once in a while, he'd go off to pray by himself and stuff. But one time, they're all in this boat, and a storm comes up on the sea. And so it's crazy. The disciples start freaking out. They are absolutely positively convinced they're going to die. This is a bad squall that's come up. And so they're freaking out, they're grabbing stuff, they're shaking, they're just screaming, they're doing all this crazy stuff. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, Jesus is with us, where's Jesus? What in the world? Like, he's sleeping, like literally in the bottom of the boat. Is he clueless about what's going on right now? Does he have no idea that we're literally about to die? And so I don't know how it all happened, but somebody grabbed him, shook him awake, and then in this very telling moment, in this boat, in the middle of this storm, the disciples shake him awake and they say this, Mark 4:38, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? That's the indictment. It's not, why are you sleeping? Don't you know what's going on? Do you not care? That's the statement. Have you ever asked God that question? Let me give you a little secret. If you've ever asked God if he really cares about what's going on in your life, that's okay. I think God's big enough to handle it. I think he can take your questions. Here's the deal. God, do you even care that my kids are struggling? Do you even care that I don't have enough this week? I just don't have enough, and my job is so much less. I literally am dreading the idea of waking up tomorrow morning because it just sucks the life out of me. Do you care that my life is that way, that this relationship or this lack of a relationship is causing me so much heartache, causing me so much pain? I've never been hurt in my whole life as much as I'm hurting right now, God. Do you not even care? Do you care about the storm that I'm going through? Do you care about my loss? Do you care about this suffering or the suffering that I see in the world? Do you care that I'm lonely? Do you care about how I feel? Do you care that I'm sick? Do you care? The simple answer is yes. Yes, he cares. In 1 Peter 5:6, I really struggle with this passage. says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. That word casting in the original Greek language means to drop, like forcefully. I'm just going to like fling it down. I'm going to drop this. I'm going to cast my cares before God. Humble yourself, come to God, and all these things. Do you not care that I'm sick? Do you not care that they're suffering? Do you not care that I hate my job? Do you not care that this person's mean to me? Do you not care? Do you not care? And just fling those down right before God. Cast all your anxieties, cast all your cares before God. And that sounds so easy to do. It's like, that's nonsensical. But when you cast those down, what you're saying is, I am trusting that you do care. There's a faith element that comes from casting those cares. On top of the fact that it says, cast all of your anxieties. Do you know what the Greek word for the meaning all is? All. Exactly. That's it. That's all it means. Everything. All. That's what it means. You just learn Greek today. I mean, you could brag online about it. God's a caring Father. A caring Father. When we pray our Father, we're connecting to a loving, caring Father. And one of the ways that he shows that care for us is that he's consistent. He's a consistent Father. Okay, James 1:7, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. He never changes. God's posture towards you doesn't change based on circumstances. Let me say this. God's posture towards you doesn't change based on your performance either. He's consistent. My consistency, it changes if I get hangry. Okay? I'm not particularly consistent. God is. His love doesn't change based on behavior. You might act inconsistently. I might act inconsistently. But he will never respond to you inconsistently. And he will never respond to you inconsistent with who he says he is and who he really is, this loving, caring Father. That's the kind of Father whose name that we hallow, that we revere, that we honor. Culture changes. Man, doesn't it change? Holy cow. The world changes. People change. Opinions change. God does not change. We know this because he's also a close Father. You can know this consistent, caring Father because he's close to us. Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call to him, to all who call to him in truth. How many of you have ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? I asked Lace last week if you saw Ricky Bobby. That might have been a mistake, but Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey. So somehow he gets imbued with God pulls him aside, and God's, of course, Morgan Freeman, and pulls him aside and says, hey, you're complaining about me. I'm going to give you my powers for a while, so I'm going to take a vacation. So Jim Carrey gets all of God's abilities and all of his powers, and he does all kinds of fun stuff. But then he sits down at a computer one day. Have you seen this part? He sits down at a computer. He logs into his email as God, and he's going to answer people's prayer requests. And so he's overwhelmed. He opens it, and he's like, 7 billion prayer requests, 7 billion emails. Some of you got your phone, and it tells you how many emails are in your Gmail. It's the look of shame. You should start deleting some of those 10,000 emails, just so you know. But he's got like 7 billion emails, and he's like, oh. So then he gets his coffee, and then all of a sudden it's this fast-forward video where he's typing and drinking coffee at the same time and all this stuff, and he answers them all. And then he hits send, and next thing you know, there's 7 million more. And he's like, ugh. So then he makes this broad decision. Reply all, yes. Total mistake. I've prayed some things God did not need to say yes to. Okay, But I say this because he couldn't individually hear all of them. He couldn't process all of that stuff. But God somehow does this. And this is one of those mysteries. Maybe I'll ask God one day. Maybe I won't care one day. But how in the world does he process everything that's coming at him all at once? The word Father in this context translates to the word Abba. Abba, A-B-B-A. Not a band from Sweden, okay? It literally translates daddy. How do you feel about that? This is the term Jesus urged his disciples to hallow. We're going to hallow you in your name as one who is as close as a child might look to their daddy. Daddy. Is there a more intimate, close, nurturing way to refer to God than comparing a child with a close father? A close, capable father. It's one thing, right? I care about you. I care about your peace. Thoughts and prayers, you know. I mean, it's one thing to care. It's one thing to even be close. I don't know about you. I need a capable father. I need a father who's got some strength. I need a father who has some power. When my kids were super, super little, man, they thought I could do everything. They thought I could fix anything. You know, as a dad, that feels pretty good when your kids come to you. You're like, Dad, can you help? I broke this. I did that. No, no, no. Then there's some stuff that your kids, like, there's just no way you're going to be able to fix it. But they think that, Dad, it's snowing outside. I want to go play. Can you fix it? No, I can't fix the snow. There's certain things that I can't fix. Now, my children are older, and they're like, they know that I don't know anything. I mean, like, hey, could you go get my phone? They bring my phone. Dad, why? Like, you know this can do like 700 more things than you use it for, right? Yeah, I don't want it to do 700, but Dad, why do you have this thing on? Can I fix this for you? Can I fix? They know. They're fixing my things now. Okay. But that's kind of what we think about our dads. This father whose name that we hallow has zero limitations. And again, this is one of those aspects of God I don't think that we can wrap our brains around. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. He's able to do more than we can think of. Okay? You think of your biggest dream, you think of your loftiest idea, you think of your biggest plans, and God's like, okay, I'll go bigger. In fact, I'll do things in ways that you're like, that is the ding-dongiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I will do it in that way, and then when it's done, you'll look back and think, what in the world was I thinking? Oh my word, that's absolutely amazing that you did that. And you get to be a part of it. That's who God is. He does things so much bigger and so much beyond anything that we could ask, anything that we could imagine. He does more. So let me ask you, in light of this, in light of these attributes of this Father, there's a blank on your outline. What have you doubted that God can handle in your life? What have you doubted that God can handle in your life? Next week, we're going to be privileged. It's going to be a great weekend. Dr. Simone Twybul is going to be here. She's going to preach in the Sunday morning service. But the day before, if you've not registered, if you've not made plans to be here for the Intimacy with God seminar on Saturday next week from 1 to 5, I just really want to encourage you to register to be here, to be a part of it. Just show up. Do whatever you want to do. But there's about 65 or 70 of you that have started planning on coming for this already, which is incredible. It's just going to be a really, really great time for her to speak to us about how we might just become more intimate with God in times of prayer. It's just going to be a really, really good time. The week after that, we're jumping right into what it looks like to hallow God's name through these actions and these prayers that we see throughout the rest of the Lord's Prayer. But that said, today, I wonder, and I've thought this about myself a lot, actually, if one of the greatest ways, maybe, that you and I truly do hallow God's name, that we honor the name of God, that we revere the name of God, that we set it apart for special affection. One of the ways that we hallow the name Father is when I maybe acknowledge his capability. When I acknowledge that he is who he says he is and can do what he says he'll do. I don't dismiss what you may be going through right now, and I know some of you are going through some horrible things. But I do know that in the midst of whatever it is that you're going through, you've got this caring, consistent, close Father. He's capable. He is capable to meet you exactly where you're at, whatever it is that you're going through. So the question, I think, for all of us then is, what have you doubted God can handle in your life? Last week, I asked you to do this, and you did amazing. And so if you didn't get a chance to do that or you want to do it again, I want to encourage you to. In your seats is this prayer card, or you can do it through the app and online. But we've set aside that prayer room. And like I said, starting this week, we're going to utilize that prayer room. But I asked you, and you don't have to write your name on it, but if you'd like to, that's fine, so we can pray specifically. But what are you asking God for? What are you trusting God for? What are you going to God for in the midst of this 21 days, but just generally right now, of prayer? What are you going to God for? And then write that down. We'd love to be able to tape that on the wall in that prayer room so that those who do come can pray with you through those things. And we can lift and encourage one another up in prayer and go to God and intercede on one another's behalf. I just want to encourage you to do that. You can drop them in the boxes in the back, or you can find a bucket somewhere and drop it in a bucket. You leave it at the front desk here in the foyer. But I just want to encourage you to take time today, if you've not done that, to fill one of those out so we can pray. If you have something that's going on in your life you just want me to know about, or our staff, there's a box there you can write for staff only. But I just want to encourage you to take advantage of that so we can join you in praying for those things. Before we close, though, there's a question that I think is a really good one. Because as we look at this passage and Jesus saying, when we come to God and we say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," right? Is God everybody's Father? Is God everybody's Father? So the way I would answer that is, that's something he really leaves up to you. You get to decide if he's your Father. God's God. You get to decide if he's your Father. He's pulled out all of the stops to make it possible for you to know him, to experience his care and compassion and concern and closeness and capability in your life. He's pulled out all the stops. He's eliminated any barrier between himself and you so that you have access to him. So is God everybody's Father? That's God's plan. That's God's plan. But whether or not he's your Father, that's your choice. That is your choice. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to build that connection for us. God is holy, we are not. Sin, the brokenness we live out, has broken that connection. So in an act of extreme care, of extreme love, Jesus died the death that our sin earned to establish that connection between us and God. So I'm going to close in prayer today. I just want to encourage you, if you need to establish that connection with God today, I want to just ask you to join me in prayer, and then maybe even write on that next steps card, "Hey, my next step is baptism. I've prayed to accept Christ. I've prayed and putting my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ today, and now my next step is baptism." Or, "My next step, Pastor Rich, I need to talk to you. I need to make sure that I'm getting this straight." We'd love to actually walk alongside of you as you journey through this. But can I pray for us today? Father, as we sit here in this moment, just acknowledge that you're good. And we come before you admitting, Father, that sometimes the actions of our lives just reinforce the separation that we've experienced with you. But you're a close Father. You're a caring Father. And you gave your Son, Jesus Christ. And through his death Father, you are actively reconciling us back to you. I accept what Jesus Christ has done for me, the forgiveness of my sin. I put my faith and my trust in Jesus today. And Father, I confess that he is my Lord, he is my Savior. And as much as is in me to understand, I commit myself today to follow you. Use your Holy Spirit to transform my life, to guide me, and direct me. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand? Father, you are good. You are great and greatly to be praised. And Father, may we hallow your name now as we leave this place, as we live out what it means to be Real Life Community Church, as we encourage one another, as we hug one another, as we greet one another, as we serve one another, as we encourage one another and edify one another. Father, I pray that all eyes and all hearts and minds go towards you, the author, the perfecter of our faith. It's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. And like I said, if you're here for the Membership Matters course, room 105 down by the kids check-in down the hall. Thanks.